We are, without a doubt, being challenged by God in these days. Without a doubt, God is speaking very loudly. Last week, I spoke about going from maintaining to obtaining. I believe the challenge before us as Christians today, I don't know if you're 2 days old or 20 days old or 20 years old or 35 years old in the Lord. It doesn't matter. This is not an age thing. It's the call of the day. It's the call of the day for us to go from maintaining houses of worship to obtaining the promises that God promised. God never imagined in His heart that the church would take a lower seat in our society. The church was called to lead our society. And it was reflected a couple generations ago. The church was the center of everything. Town hall meetings were met at the church. If there was a problem, they met at the church. Come on, somebody. And we've lost that in our generation. But I want to talk this morning about obtaining by dominion. And I want to start by saying, for those of you scholars and students, know that the teaching called dominion theology has been attacked, and some of it rightly so. So when I begin this teaching on dominion, I do not mean what some of the dominion people say. And that means that dominion theology at its worst says that we will take over the governments of this world and perfect this world and Jesus will return. I don't believe that. We're not going to take over governments. The kingdoms of this world were designed to fall apart. They will end. Come on, somebody. We don't want it to. We don't want this. We love this nation. But this government is not guaranteed to be eternal. But the government that you and I serve, the kingdom of God, is meant to be eternal. We are part of an eternal kingdom. And we're called to rule and reign over that eternal, invisible kingdom as kings and priests to our God. Genesis 1:26, if you have your Bibles, turn there. You're going to want to underline Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It's also on the screen. But I want you to turn in your Bibles and I want you to take notes, please, because what you're being served today is porterhouse steak. This is good eating today. And it's a call to mature. It's time for you and I to grow up. Come on, someone. Think about this. If you do not have time in your day to take half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour in prayer, however you got to divide that up, if you don't have time, if you're that busy that you can't pray on a daily basis, something is out of kilter about your life. Come on, someone. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I want you to underline, "let us" and "let them." God's part was to make us. Our part is to have dominion over this earth. God's intent was that man would have dominion over the elements, that we would have dominion over God's creation. Come on, someone. Yep. His intent was that we wouldn't fall to sickness, that we wouldn't fall to disease. Sickness and disease are part of the curse. God's intent was that we have dominion and rule and reign with Him in His kingdom. Adam and Eve were asked, were told, were commanded to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion, Scripture says. Psalm 115, verse 16 says that heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. Now, when God spoke these things out of His mouth, it was absolutely imperative that He allow the world to do what the world was going to do. All of heaven belongs to God, but the earth has been bequeathed or given to mankind. The only way that it could be straightened out was through man. Listen very carefully. That's why Christ had to be born into the human race. The only one that could change this environment was a human. God could not intervene. God could not just, many times, you've prayed just like I do. God, open the heavens and just come down and straighten things out. How many know it would take God about 3 minutes? And everything would be in order. But He's given dominion to you and I. His intent that He comes for a bride without spot and without blemish. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen by you and I taking the authority that God has given us and be responsible for the sphere of influence that we have. Each individually and thereby corporately. Dominion means to be established as a sovereign, kingly ruler, master governor, responsible for reigning over a designated territory with the inherent authority to represent and embody as a symbol the territory, resources, and all that constitutes that kingdom. Now you say, man, that's a lot of words right there. That's heavy stuff. You say, well, I don't feel much like a ruler, master, governor. If you have a home, you are ruler, master, governor over your home. Men, you need to take your rightful place and have dominion in your home. Women, you need to stand beside your husband and have dominion in your home. If there's evil in your home, it's your fault. If there's curses in your home, it's your fault. You can't blame it on anybody else. It's not my fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not the weather's fault. It's not the neighbor's fault. If you do not have dominion in your home, it's your fault. Go home and change the atmosphere by obeying the word of the Lord. You are a co-ruler with Jesus Christ. Man was never meant to rule over man. But we are to rule over principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. I don't know about your home, but in my home, the enemy doesn't have a place. The enemy does not rule in my home. You need to become sensitive of that. A couple weeks ago, we had visitors to our home. And after they left, there was just something different about the atmosphere. I'm kind of, God knows more than I'm kind of stupid. It took me a couple days. My wife looked at me one morning devotion and said, man, there's something different in the house. Take authority. We did cleansing. Because in my home, peace of God reigns. And it can in your home. But you need to represent and embody as a symbol, the territory that God has given you. Come on, somebody. You need to do that. The kingdom of God is not the temporal governments of the earth. When we talk about taking the seven mountains, we talk about getting Christians back into places of leadership in media, in business, government, church. Come on, somebody. What is the reason for that? It's not so that those entities will be perfect. It's so that the Word of God can be preached without blockages. The Word of God can be preached over the airwaves. The Word of God can be spoke about in our educational system. The Word of God can be feared when it comes to the spending of our national money. Come on, somebody. That's the reason for Christians taking over. It's not to make the governments of the world eternal. No one can do that. We are not called to make the world perfect for His return. John 18:36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And the church, to the extent that the church has gotten involved in politics and picketing abortion clinics, they've got it wrong. We're not fighting or trying to make somebody angry to change their minds. Their minds have been darkened by the spirit of Satan. And we do warfare against those spirits, not those people. Come on, somebody. When we can allow the world to get to a place where a woman stands behind a lectern and gives glory to Jesus for a healthy abortion, we've lost our minds. And the blame does not lay at anyone's door except ours. The blame is the church's, because we've not taken authority over that kind of spirit. Where hundreds of people can gather in the chambers of the New York State Senate and cheer and high-five and clap and shout because they passed the abortion law that allows babies to be killed up to and including birth. We've lost our minds. But we are not a kingdom of this world, but we are a part of an unshakable kingdom. The scriptures say everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that cannot be shaken will remain. You and I are serving an unshakable God. And He's made us to be unshakable. Turn to somebody and say, I'm unshakable. But you know, the problem is we have got ourselves into a mess. We have become shakable. We actually fear those that work for us. How many know the government works for me? I don't work for them. I don't fear them. What can they do to me? Oh, we can't do that. Pastor, if we do that, we'll lose our 501. Come and take it. Come and take the 501c3. What threat is that to me? I don't look to the government for my provision. I don't look to any man for my provision. My provision comes from... Come on, somebody. God's never let me down. He never will let me down. Who do I fear? None. His kingdom is not subject to the things of the world. Oh, we're a good church. We're a growing church. We're in this community, and the community has gone to hell in a handbasket, but we're still here. We're maintaining. Sign in the front yard says we have meetings every week. Church has become a laughing stock in many ways because we think that we're part of the world system. And when the world begins to praise us and pat our backs, we're doing something wrong. We're not doing something right. Augustine, first century scholar, said this: without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Without God, we cannot. Jesus said, without the Father, I can do nothing. But God will not move on this earth without man. You look at every revival that's happened in this world. It happened because people prayed, took authority, and called angels and called God to come and take care of things. That's why Jesus said this: whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Because God is the owner. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the manager is you. The body of Christ has been called to manage this earth. And to the extent that we allow God to move, remember when my mother was still living, she came to visit church I was pastoring. And I have to admit, I prayed this prayer: oh God, don't let anything crazy happen today. because my mother was not Pentecostal by any stretch of the imagination. Loved Jesus, but she was not Pentecostal. And of course, how many of you know what happened that morning? People dancing and my mother looking around. Folks, we need a kingdom mentality. We need to go from church mentality to kingdom mentality. Christ never preached to church. He preached the kingdom. The church being in the kingdom of God. The government of God being the kingdom of God. Luke 12:32, he said, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the church." Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you Hollywood. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you First National Bank. I laugh heartily at people that say because they drive nice cars and have nice clothing that they're spiritual giants. I laugh at them. I laugh at them. I laugh at them. Because they're not. Now they could be. Whether you're rich or poor doesn't matter. What matters is you're a child of the living God. I believe nobody should be under a spirit of poverty. Don't get me wrong. God should be able to take care of us if we believe God. I've seen God move in the worst of countries, third world countries. I've seen Christians making it, prospering. Do not ask permission to be kings and priests by compromise, but declare from a position of conviction. Nobody rules over me except Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King. Come on, somebody. My wife and I got into a discussion about submit. Submit one to another. I'm submitted to you, but you don't rule me. You should be submitted to me, but I don't rule you. To the extent that we speak the kingdom of God, I understand about hierarchy. I understand about pastor, evangelist, apostle. But too long, we've given too much power to a few and none to the masses. We all have the power of God within us, from the smallest to the greatest. What happened at the cross? We died on the cross with Christ, and we switched places with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God left His place, Jesus left His place and His throne to come and live in a human body. Why? Because that's the only way the world could be redeemed. His whole plan was to exalt us to a place of being seated with Him. You're locked up, John. No, something happened. Okay. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up together and made us, made us, sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God gave me a vision the other day of heaven. I saw three thrones. I saw the 24 elders. I saw the angels. But I did not see human beings standing around the throne. And I asked God why. And He said, because they're seated in me on the throne. We have all the authority of heaven behind us. When we speak, it's as if heaven is speaking. Come on, somebody. That's why when we start getting some hitching or giddy up, we speak things and we wonder, somebody else can speak something and they get away with it. We speak something, we're in trouble because we're children of the King. When you speak, you have to watch what's coming out of your mouth. If you speak negative things and death and curses, that's what you'll get. Why? Because you're a child of the King. Words mean something coming out of you. Out of the lost, they're just dead words. Come on, are you with me this morning? Come on, we say some things that we ought not. Hang around Mick long enough, you'll change your way of talking, man. But what happened in the exchange life is that God took our place. He lives in me, and I'm seated in Him in heavenly places. We need a complete revolution of our mental state. It's only, we say things like, well, it's only a matter of time. Who said so? Well, it's only a matter of time. Everybody else has got it. I'm going to get it. Flu and viruses are around. It's only a matter of time. Better get some pills from Walgreens. Who said so? Come on, somebody. We need to have kingdom mentality and not on this earth. This is going to drive me nuts. Who said so? Man, when you speak that stuff out of your mouth, it's going to happen. You say, well, yeah, that's a little far-fetched. No, it's not. It's kingdom mentality. We have what we speak. Come on, someone. That's why David said, put a guard on my lips that I might not curse you or speak against you. Things like, I wish they would die. And don't ever say that. Our worst enemy. We do not want to see our worst enemy in hell. Our worst enemy. Come on, somebody. Yes. We don't want to see them in hell. We want to see them redeemed. Yes. Pray that prayer. I want them redeemed, but let them live on the other side of heaven. God now has access to the earth through us. Too long that we have lived in the shadow of the world system. We do not take back the seven mountains to restore the kingdoms of this world. We take them back to redeem this world before Christ comes. As many as will come. There's a mentality of being a worker in the field different from being a son in the house. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Everybody all right? Luke chapter 15. Snowing out, but it's not laying, it doesn't look like. Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I am going to refer to a couple scriptures. So if you'll turn there, Luke chapter 15. Certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And, of course, you know the story. The son went into the city, spent all of his goods, all of his money that God, that his father had given him, and ended up being working, feeding pigs. And if you know anything about the Jews, that was the worst job you could have, is being around swine. And he came to himself and he said, if only I could live in my father's house, I'd be glad to be a servant. Now listen very carefully. I want to change your minds this morning. So when he got back, the father was standing on the watching for his son to come. And his son came and he said, bring the best robe. Put it on him. That robe was reserved for the heir to the father's everything he had. Some say it was meant for the eldest son, the one that never left. But he said, bring the best robe and put it on him and give him a ring. That ring was a signet ring. It gave all the father's authority to the son. Now I'm about ready to make you very, very joyful. You have been given the robe and the ring in your life. You're not called to be a servant. You're a bondslave of God. You serve God. But in this earth, you're called as a king and a priest. You rule and reign with Christ. You're not under anybody. I'm not under anybody. I serve everyone. If I want to be the first, I've got to serve everybody. But you're not over me. I'm not a servant, a slave. I'm a king and a priest. Come on, somebody, it'll change the way you look at life. A real servant, a real king and a priest will be a servant. But somebody that's been told they're nothing but a servant finds it very hard to rule and reign. You rule and reign. You don't have to put up with stuff you've been putting up with in your life. Well, it's just my cross to bear. Get out of here. Where'd you hear that at? Come on, somebody. If we're suffering for the Lord, glory to God. But if we're suffering because of some skewered idea we have of the world and the church, when we should be speaking to people that are saved, that are just saved, we're training people to be wimps. Oh, live your best life now. God's always happy. And I'm always happy. Man, you go through life with trials and tribulations. Think it not strange? Temptation, no temptation has come upon you. We're going to have battles, but we win every one. It's not that the battles don't come. If you're waiting for battles to stop, you're going to be waiting a long time. Battles hit you every day, every way. Why? Because you are a target for the enemy if you're a Christian. And he's going to attack, but we win. Difference between salvation and conversion. The exchange life demands a complete revolution of our mental state. We become what God intended us to be. God cannot change the world independent of our involvement. Why? He gave you and I dominion. He's not going to take that back. Oh, sometimes I wish he would. You prayed that same prayer. God, I'm going to go to sleep now. When I wake up, could you just make it all better? How many prayed that prayer? I'm so exhausted, Lord. I want to go to sleep. When I wake up, I don't want to have to face it. Just make it all better. Daniel in the lion's den. God, I'm going to go to sleep. When I wake up, have all the lions sleeping too. Things we lost was loss of position. We need to get a position back. Transfer of responsibility. We gave responsibility over to the enemy. And in this country, listen to me, we have given authority that does not belong to the enemy back to the enemy. The enemy has no authority, but we've given him because nature abhors a vacuum, because the church has said, God, get us out of here. It's a mess. Somebody has to lead, and it ain't been the church. Now you got demon-possessed people standing and making declarations from positions of leadership. Demon-possessed people. We've lost our self-consciousness has been sin-centered, not grace-centered. We have shame and embarrassment in the church. Fear and intimidation. Loss of dominion over nature. Preach a whole message just on that. We allow things to happen that we should never allow. Toil and hatred of labor. I mean, you know, if we want things, we got to work for them. Tom gave a testimony about somebody the other night praying and losing 40 pounds at the evangelist laid hands and they lost 40 pounds, 4 inches on their waist immediately. How many know that's the exception, not the rule? Christ came to redeem and to restore. Restore what? He came to restore our authority. The virgin birth, the sinless life, signs and wonders, death on the cross, resurrection was for the preaching of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish man's dominion and authority once and for all. He carries on his works through yielded vessels. Christ has never left the earth. He's still here in each one of us. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a teenager, you're an ambassador. If you're a child, you're an ambassador. Why? Because God deemed it so. An ambassador is appointed by a king, not voted for. An ambassador is appointed to represent the country from which he was sent. You and I have been sent from heaven. The exchange life. God said, come live with me and then go back to earth filled with me and speak my word. You're covered by the country of origin. Heaven is covering you as an ambassador. As long as you don't text while you drive, God's got you covered. Oh, I'm a child of the king. I can text and drive. Don't try it. You're heaven's responsibility. God is going to see to it that you have victory. Come on, somebody. You're totally protected as an ambassador. God dispatches angels, His Holy Spirit. Come on, His anointing is upon you. An ambassador never becomes a citizen of the host country. I am not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of God. Someone said dual citizenship. I don't want anything to do with this world. This world is dead to me. And I to the world. Come on, I'm a citizen of heaven. Recalled by the king only. The only one that can get rid of me is the king. If I die, it's on God. Because I'm an ambassador, I have access to all the wealth of heaven. I'm not just talking about money. All the wealth of heaven is mine. All the wealth of heaven is yours. When you say, well, my house is a mess, you have the wealth of heaven. My relationships are a mess, you have the wealth of heaven. God gave you access to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Come on, somebody. He gave you self-control. He's given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. You have access to everything heaven has. But you never, an ambassador never speaks his personal opinion. And that's where the church has gone haywire. You know, people have mics stuck under their face. Do so-and-so, if they do this sin, are they going to heaven? Well, the Bible says they are, but I think, no. It's not what you think. I have lots of friends that do that sin. Well, it doesn't make any difference. They can still be friends and we can still love them, but they know the truth because I can only speak what the Word of God says I can speak. Come on, somebody. Jesus did not come to preach about the church. Come on, someone. He didn't come to preach about the church. He came to preach about the kingdom of God. Let me read just a couple of references if you're taking notes. Matthew 10:7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely First Assembly of God has come upon you. That's what it says. First Assembly of God. New Life Church has come upon you. No, it says the kingdom of God. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know why the end hasn't come? Because the kingdom of God has not been preached. A bunch of gobbledygook has been preached. Gobbledygook, that's a theological term. Not many people know about that, but I do. Luke 4:43. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. For this purpose I have been sent. What? What did Jesus say? I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Because for this purpose I have been sent. To do what? To preach the kingdom. Saddest thing in the world is a Christian that does not know who they are in Christ. Sad. Luke 8:1, now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Luke 9:11, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. Luke 12:31, seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. God, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. Stop asking the Lord for that and seek His kingdom, and He'll make sure you get that. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Luke 18:17. Luke 22:29. And I bestow upon you a church, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. I'm a member of the First Christian Church. My Father bestowed upon Jesus a kingdom, which He bestowed upon us. What's it mean to bestow? It means to give with all authority. John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. He carries on the preaching, my friend, through you and I. Come on, someone. It's time to get militant. It's time to live like God called us to live. No more small thinking. Go home, get your house in order, get your life in order. You have the wherewithal within you. If you need help, the power of agreement is powerful. Come, we'll pray with you. We'll stand with you until things are right in your home. Where does revival start? Right here. It's not from the outside in. It's always from the individual out. And I'm praying for you. Terry and I are standing in the gap, praying for each one of you. Please pray for us. Pray for those in the church. Ephesians 1:16-19. Ephesians 3:16-19. Get creative. Pray what God tells you to pray. Come on, someone. This is the day like no other day. We're getting ready to step in one of the most powerful moves of God the world has ever seen. And I want to tell you, as your preacher, I am not afraid of any government entity. As I said, they can't take anything away from me because I don't own anything. What are you going to take? It's all God's. They can't take my freedom. I'll be free no matter where I'm at. Come on, somebody. I'm free in Christ. He who the Son makes free is free indeed. Doesn't matter if I'm behind bars or standing outside. But I will not be a prisoner of lies, deceitfulness, weakness. I will not be that prisoner. And I can choose to be that prisoner by just letting it go in this ear and out the other. And I love you all so much. I want you to rule and reign in your sphere of influence and watch it grow. Because once you, what's God? God is a God of more. Once you learn how to delegate your own life and have authority in your own life, He starts giving you spheres of influence. Communities begin to change. Neighbors begin. People begin to come and say, hey, whatever you got, I want. Just like on TV. Next week, we're going to be talking about living by kingdom principles. I promise it won't be as long as it was today. We took some time today because I am praying for you that you would be actively involved in what God is doing. Get on board now, man, because when it starts, you're going to wish you had. We're getting ready to go on a tremendous journey, watching healings, deliverances, salvations, all sorts of things that will happen because this is the day of reckoning. Heaven is calling upon the church to awaken. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you for each and every one this morning, Lord, that you might give to them the spirit of revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of you, that they with all the saints may be able to comprehend what is the width and the depth and the height of your love that surpasses knowledge, God. God, I thank you for each and every one, and I pray, God, that they would not forget. Lord, I pray that you would seal this word in their heart. Lord, that this seed would not be stolen, but Lord, it would take root very deeply in their lives. So God, I thank you for each and every one here. I give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.